Hey everyone, I'm Lauren.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Fostering Forward with Nick and Lo.
A podcast hosted by two foster moms who believe in fostering to reunify,
fostering the whole family,
fostering change,
and most importantly, fostering growth in yourself.
Our hope is that this podcast will be an invitation for you to join us in radical foster parenting.
Let's get started.
Okay.
Oh man. Okay, so now that we shit on.
Also, hold on. I hate how we start this like every time, every fucking time. We're like, oh, okay, man, here we go.
Fucking go again.
Woohoo.
I really feel like this start is actually going to be a lot better though.
Okay.
Whatever. And if you edit it out, I'm going to have to kill you. So okay. Leave it.
Okay.
All right. Fine. Here, we'll start it like this.
On record.
Oh, yeah. So now you have proof that it was me.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this banter couldn't be any more unedited because it's literal banter. So that's why it's like, if it's
coming. Can you
out,
just get to the point?
I don't know if I can now. Oh, I'm a little offended. No, I can. I can. Okay. I will. All right. So now we're going to talk about if you are in the shit with your kids, how to avoid the placement disruption or God, even worse, adoption dissolution. But
this the goal is to stop that before we even get to that point.
Yes. And so rewind, before we even talk about what to do if you're in the shit with your kid, let's talk about what to do before you even start fostering or pursue adoption.
Yeah, because I mean, we mentioned a little bit in the last one, but like entering into fostering with like knowing that this is not an option or like not having this as your backup plan would be ideal.
Yes.
And like, and this, and here's ways to like prep yourself.
Yeah, fucking get prepared.
Prep yourself before you wreck yourself.
Stop. Okay, so talk as a family with your co-parent, with your kids, if you already have kids, about taking the option of giving up out of your bank of options pretty much entirely. I mean, obviously, we've talked about how it can be a last-ditch emergency option when there's no other fucking choice. But as a family, you should not go into foster care or an adoption situation with the idea of like, we'll try this out. And if it doesn't go well, we'll just give up. Like,
yeah,
that's not a good philosophy to operate
exactly.
from.
Also, though, like, my family never had a specific conversation about how that isn't an option. It's just never been presented as one. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my kids don't even know what that is. My kids also, though, like, biological kids, and even so, my, like, middle foster, my young foster, I don't even know how to fucking label these kids.
You're like, whatever.
My eldest son, he, came to us in care, but I don't think he like knew that that was an option either. Like, I don't think he knew that existed.
Poor thing. God, I'm glad he doesn't.
Yes, me too. And so like the kids know something's up with the oldest of like how she's gotten to us, but like I don't think that they understand that like that's an option we could have.
Yeah, and that's a good. I mean, that's a good thing. Although with some of your kids that have been in care, you may have to explain to them that that's your philosophy because if they've been disrupted before, you can't just like leave.
Yes,
it
no, ours is like. I mean, we've had that conversation
with your oldest.
And so that may be necessary for sure, but we're talking pre anyway.
Yeah. So basically like get that out of your bank of options. And then another thing that I've seen a lot is people will have ultimatums and they'll be like, well, we're not looking at that as an option unless this happens. Or so, that.
Sexual abuse is a big one. People are like, I'll take this, this, and this, but like no sexual abuse, no like harming of animals. No.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's valid, I suppose. Also, though, remembering that things can come up later on and you can't be like, you can't use that as a cop out. Like, also, I didn't know this when I signed up. Like, yeah, I also didn't know that, like, my fucking biological kid would have autism, but I'm not going to, like, yeet him out of my house.
You're not? I thought you guys were.
I thought about it. Just kidding.
And there's a difference between ultimatums before you would, accept a child in your home and after they're already part of the family.
Yes, once you're already committed.
Right. Like, I do think that if you feel that sexual abuse would be a tough thing for you to work through with a kid and you have a call for a kid that has known sexual abuse, by all means, like, say no to taking that child into your home if that's not something you feel prepared to tackle. However, we need you to understand that you may get a child into your home and family and then find out about known sexual abuse far after the fact, like, you know, a few weeks, months into things. And so, you know, I think it's fine to have situations that you say no to prior to the child joining your family. But I think you need to be realistic about the fact that you can't have like a hard ultimatum always after they're there, because you can be like, okay, no sexual abuse, and then find out a year in that your son or daughter in foster care has had sexual abuse. We literally found out about, not specifically that, but like types of abuse and experiences that my kids
things
had.
That were going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've
years
had the
later.
Same. I mean, ours, like, and not with, like, you know, the one you'd expect, just like stories that come out where I'm like, wow, like, that's like really not
months later. Yeah. And so it's not, you know, ultimatums is not a good way to look at it. Instead, I would rather families have kind of like talked through some situations and had a game plan and a safety plan for those situations. So like, what will we do if a child that we've invited into our home that's part of our family now experiences aggression or sexual acting out? And honestly, I'm big on this one. And we've talked about this because you have biological kids. It's important if you have biological kids or kids that are permanently in your home and you're bringing new kids in to have those tough conversations prior to a new family member. Like, how should those kids respond to aggression towards them? What is sexual acting out? Like, your kids.
And we've even had to start doing this because my my youngest daughter and your youngest son are similar in age, and they're like friends, but they're, I don't know, like, how would you describe their.
So our youngest is autistic, and he's still working on learning how to interact with other kids. And it's been really awesome because all of Nicole's kids are really amazing friends to both of my kids, and they're just sweet people in general. But they're our bubble family, so they're really the only kids that my kids interact with right now. And so my youngest has some issues with aggression towards other children, and so we have had to like talk to her youngest about how to handle that. And like, and I'm not even just your youngest, some of your bigger guys.
My bigger kids can like handle it a little bit more. Like, well, the aggression isn't as like effective on them. And but with specifically with M, with my younger daughter, she like Lauren has had to like tell her like react this way, like when he does that, like do this, say this.
Yeah, like, and also it's been funny because like Nicole's instinct is like, oh, they're company, like just get smacked, and like you're kind of like, it's fine, like,
yeah.
But I've had to be like, like stick your chest out and put your like hand on the middle of his forehead and kind of push him away from you. I've literally told her that, I'm like, shove him away from you.
And like their angry llama, that's what Emmy knows that too. She signs no.
Sign no, so he knows, and like tell him to back the fuck off, and you know, like, so you can empower other kids to deal with aggression, and you need to empower them to know what the symptoms of sexual acting out are going to look like, what the symptoms of aggression are going to look like, and like be prepared for how they're going to come to you right away, how they're going to respond in the moment. Don't just be like, oh, well, that'll never happen because we have these ultimatums. Like, you don't know that. And so preparation can keep things from escalating to the point where it's a really dangerous situation for all kids involved. And it can also, you know, just empower the other people in your family.
Yeah. Well, and I think a big thing too is like, I mean, I trust all of my kids wholeheartedly. I do. But like, we don't just like let our kids hang out by themselves anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we are parents. So we're like parenting our kids. We're like supervising. We're, I try to do a lot of like letting the kids de-escalate their own issues, but I'm always listening. Like, I know what we're fighting about, and I know what's going on, and I know what yells are for.
Well, and so I tell people a lot that are new, and I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if I made this term up or not, but like in our family, we practice like line of sight supervision, arm's length supervision especially when there's a new family member entering, unless the kids are separated into zones in the house where I know that they would have to pass me to get to the other kid. If it like literally, like if my kids are together in a room, I'm eyes on them, arm's length, or, you know, I'm eyes on them, I'm not far away. And we kind of move from arm's length supervision to line of sight supervision once kids evolve and grow. But we have not moved away from line of sight supervision with any of my littles. The only person that can be with another child in the family without me looking right at him is my oldest. And that came with growth and maturity and him getting older and knowing him for years and years.
Well, and like, you know, we also, so we allow unsupervised play, but it's like not really because we have cameras in our house.
Yeah, yours is not.
And so like so they have the freedom. And again, this is like something that is not just like an instant thing with a new child that comes into our home. But my kids are like, feel like they have the freedom and the animosity to like go and hang out and like
the play autonomy.
Autonomy, yes.
Hopefully there's not animosity, but there probably is.
Maybe. to like pick what they're doing and play in the basement or in the backyard. And they know, I mean, our campus are not a secret. They know they're there, but they often forget. And I'll like catch things that like are not of concern, just like typical sibling thing. But like, You know, we can still see what's going on, and we get our notifications and
that somebody moved in them.
Yep.
Well, and so make a plan before you're in the situation of supporting a child with trauma. Make a plan to keep everybody safe. And so I think a lot of times when people are first time parents or they've only parented kids without trauma, they're not used to this level of supervision and making a game plan for stuff like this. But when you make a plan, you can save yourself from being in some of the tough situations that motivate people to disrupt a placement of a child or dissolve their adoption.
Yeah. So something that I had like a, so we talked about like the importance of like finding your support group, and Lauren and I didn't do that till later, but like, how awesome would it have been if we would have had group before we even started?
Yeah.
And so as not only would we like have more idea of like the realistic like way that it looks, mm-hmm. but also like as soon as we would have had our issues, we would have had somebody to turn to.
Yes. And so, and also guys, you need more support and resources than you think you need.
Yeah.
You really fucking do. Like I thought I was good to go. No, you need support in terms of mentors and people to come to and advice, but you also need resources. So money, savings, an emergency plan that you can throw money at the problem. You need to know what your local resources for disability support and mental health support and childcare are.
Well, and something that I think is worth noting is also Lauren is really dope and super helpful. But unfortunately, I think a lot like people don't have enough people to support them. So like a lot of times Lauren will have to jump in and provide some support because there's nobody else who will do it.
Oh geez. I don't want you to say
no,
that.
Yes,
I'm always happy to support.
You do, of course. And she'll do it willingly and loves to. But then like a bitch gets burnt out herself and also like can't help everybody at the same time. And that's something. So like, I'm always hesitant to ask Lauren for help because like, I know what she's carrying. I know it is, but like it is, I watch like all the other shit you're doing. And so like we have other people who I can talk to and lean on. And
yes.
So having more than just one person, because like if you're feeling burnt out and you're always leaning on the same people, they'll also feel burnt out.
Yes.
And so like really having as many people in your little village mm-hmm. that you can is really important.
Yeah. Also, this reminds me of like back in the day when I didn't have Nicole or support group or like any wider support network. I had my BFF Megan, mm-hmm. and now she's a foster parent. So sometimes you get your support people so involved that they want to fucking do
yeah,
it
yeah, which is also so dope. But like, yes,
no, it's fucking it's rude, and that bitch should have stayed like a single college
exactly.
girl with nothing else going on.
Should have just stayed helpful, Meg.
But yeah, like so sometimes like people's life changes, and then they need your support. So you can't just have like your one BFF or your one person. Like you need a wide network of supports, and you need to know what resources are out in your community. Because like when you're in crisis, that is not like you can still figure it out, but that's not the ideal time to start figuring it out. And I think people try to do this, but they're just not doing it to the level they need to be before they're doing foster care or adoption. Like it's such a bigger need than you know it is. Like you need so much more support and resources than you think
yeah.
you need.
Okay. So let's talk about some of these resources because
okay.
this was like a really hard thing for me is like, I knew I needed to do these things. I just didn't know how or where to start.
Okay.
And I think that we've kind of learned like a lot as
okay. let's just rattle them off like based on like Central Ohio area, but hopefully a lot of your areas if you're listening from
yeah
far
like
away.
It can apply in different
yeah. So yeah, let's just like throw out things that we can think of. Okay, so foster closets to get
oh yes and we also are super involved in our local like art therapy, like art programs
mm-hmm.
That has been super helpful. It's not exclusive to Kids in Care, but most of it is. And I've mentioned this before, but it's much easier to have your kids involved in something with kids who are like them.
Okay. So like local programs for different types of therapy, art
yes.
therapy, tons of things. Fucking horse therapy. There's so many different things in different areas are going to have.
I hate that you of all people called it horse therapy.
Whatever. Hippotherapy is not what I'm talking about. It literally
is. No, equestrian.
Don't say equestrian. Anyway, moving on from that. Let's see. What else? Oh, local county board of developmental disabilities.
Yes.
Everywhere has one. A lot of kids in care have a developmental disability that's diagnosed.
Well, okay. Something that I didn't know about because when I had my youngest, I was low income, but I didn't grow up in a home that knew anything about resources. So something I didn't learn until I was a foster parent is about like Head Start and early intervention and things
yeah.
like that.
And a lot of times you can even get like free or low cost childcare through those.
Yes. So that mm-hmm. those were super helpful.
Yes. Okay, so in general with childcare, you need a plan and a backup plan and a backup plan for that plan.
Yes.
And like you need to know every daycare, every option and how you feel about them in your area, because if you're taking littles and you work, you're going to need a lot of backups.
Yeah,
So
and this is mentioned in our support episode as well, but like swapping, like do your swaps, get your kids out of your hair.
like
Like
families to swap
when you're
with.
in conflict, like give everybody space. Also, like don't always just like hinder on the like, oh, I'm not like, I don't want to mess up our attachment. Like I feel that, I hear you, but like you're gonna hate them more.
It's really going to mess up your attachment if you can't hang in there and have to disrupt your kid.
Exactly.
And then I think the last one that we didn't say yet is just utilizing people that want to help you in a wiser way, because I see a lot of newer foster or adoptive parents have a big support around them at the beginning, but they don't utilize them in a practical sense. So like they'll have people, for example, buy a bunch of baby, like I see this all the time with foster parents. Like they'll have people buy them a bunch of baby stuff, right? And stuff that you could get at any foster closet for free.
Yeah.
And then they'll end up with like a sibling set of like a 3, 2, and 1 year old. Everybody's outgrown all that baby shit. They don't
Yes.
have money for childcare. They don't have anyone to help them. The stipends are delayed. I don't know, just it's a mess.
Yes. So that's a huge thing. Is I think like a childcare fund, like gosh, I wish we would have done something like that. 'Cause I got a lot of kids. Like it's really hard for us to like plan anything like that. Also,
So wait, back up. So when people offer to help you, get gift cards, get money towards your emergency fund, and gift cards.
So
That's
our
what you
other
need.
thing too is like I would have loved to like crowdfund some of our cameras because they make our lives easier. They make my
Your
kids
security cameras.
they make my kids feel more secure, for like different kids for different reasons. It helps with like our parenting with I like am able to give them the
Yeah.
like distance, the freedom, but like not completely.
Right, but they're
But so
expensive.
they are. I mean, we like, you know, there's definitely cheaper options, but if we had those in place before we started, like that would have made things easier. 'Cause also it was like a little weird when we like are like, hey, I'm gonna add these. And my kids like thought they were super dope, but like it's not always gonna be that way.
So
And so like
like
things like that also, like things in your home, like give me some fucking cabinet locks, get me a lock box for medications. Like
practical things, not
yes,
onesies.
exactly.
Nobody needs onesies. You can fucking get those for free on Facebook Marketplace.
Yes, and like and take your friends up when they're saying something, and like if they don't show up, they don't show up, that's fine, but like I mean it's not fine, but like everybody's always like, oh, like how can I help you, like don't be
Give them a
like,
job.
yeah, don't be like, oh, like it's fine, we're
No.
just, you know. So and that's been super helpful, is like getting realistic with myself about that. And also like in your support group, like ask what is your safety plan for this situation, or like what are situations where you would have wished you had a safety plan, and like what did that look like? And like, you know, Lauren and I were just talking about we're gonna have to like sit down with our partners and do some like role play, like not in like a kinky way, unfortunately, but like
I was
these
looking at you like, what are you
situations with
talking
our
about?
kids and our in our parenting for like so we can be better equipped. And like that's something like we're like far into this and we're still doing this, like reevaluate continuously, and like also prepare yourself before you start.
So we talked a lot about how to prepare avoiding or how to prepare to avoid disruption before you start. But let's talk about like you're in it, either you're in a foster care situation or God forbid an adoption situation, and you're like, oh my gosh, we're in crisis. I'm really thinking about giving up. What can you do, you know, while
Yeah,
you're in it?
I think a lot of the same things apply as far as like the support and reaching out to, you know, we talk to a lot of like former foster youth. But in this instance, I would say like lean on some other foster parents like who have lived through the waves.
Yeah, so we talked a lot about the support aspects of like how to prep before you do it, apply for while you're in it as well. But there's a couple specific things for while you're in it that we wanted to touch on. And so one really important thing, then this is harder than you might think it might be, is avoid the us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
No matter what, but especially if you have other kids. So something that an unhealthy pattern that I think happens sometimes in families who are in crisis a lot, is there's like a, well, these are my kids and that's that kid. You know, like the kid that's struggling, that's causing you know, some uproar in the home because of their trauma, and things that they can't control, is viewed as like ruining everybody else's life. You know, like they're not part of the family.
Yeah,
The family's over here and this
that
child,
can be so hurtful.
yes, it can be really hurtful for the kid, but it also is like it's the enemy of your progress, because if
Yes.
you're seeing your child who's having challenges as like other, you're already halfway there to giving
exactly.
up on them.
Yeah. Another thing, so we did like talk about safety plans a little bit, but something that I utilize a lot and like really it works well in our life is like overhauling your environment. So like changing it up, we've had to switch rooms to like accommodate certain needs. We've had to, like I said, I mean, we added the cameras because I wanted to give my kids the space, but like couldn't completely do it. Or I don't know. I struggled with a little bit at the beginning is like, I knew I had to do these things. Like I knew I had to have plans, but I didn't know what to plan for, like scenarios. And I didn't know like what were appropriate reactions. And I think that like it goes into the support part where where that's where you're going to learn, like talk to families who have experienced these things and like already had to implement these plans.
Exactly. And so that's something that actually, and I have some ideas I have to share with you after we record about this. That's good ideas.
Okay.
So something that it drives me nuts is I'm really lucky in this sense. Like this is fun for me. I do hear a lot more and more now from people, you know, on the internet and in real life, that'll be like, oh my gosh, like we're going to become a foster family or we've decided to adopt and we're so excited and they want to learn and they want to like build a community while they're getting certified. And I think that's amazing. However, one thing that drives me nuts is there's not a lot of people who, and there's not really a program for this, so that's why, but there's not a lot of people who choose to come alongside existing foster or adoptive families before they do it. And that would include me. And like I didn't either. And so I think it's really important if you're going to do this, like go freaking watch some kids. You know what I mean? Like one, foster and adoptive families really, really need the help. And also like you'll learn so much. And so one thing that like I really want to get going with some of our local agencies that we're like that those of us in our group, you know, have connections with is I would love for people going through pre-service training for fostering or adopting to like be involved with the families that are in the nitty gritty.
Yeah. To either like do like a shadow position of like a fam, like, you know, check out what we're doing or like also having a mentor. Like it would have been nice to have like what they had hoped our relationship would look like. At the beginning of my whole journey,
I don't know if you would have been ready for my approach back then.
I mean, probably not. And also, I don't think it would have been as helpful as I would have hoped.
Yeah. Well, so we're laughing because Nicole and I got connected because somebody that worked with their daughter thought that I would be a good like mentor for Nicole because I have a really good like. If those of you who've never like seen my fake ass side of me that talks to social workers, like I come off like pretty fucking dope.
Okay. And you also like you've been through some fucking shit with some teens and like and some older kids. And so you do like you've had to implement these strategies.
Also like God bless my agency. People who only know me through the testimonies of the wonderful women that are social workers with our agency think that I'm way more the shit than I am. Because those sweet ladies
the hard way.
Yeah. Those ladies are super sweet and will be like, oh, we just love her. And like talk about like I'm some sort of like real knowledgeable bitch. But like I'm just a hot mess like anybody else. But and so yeah, like having a mentor and having some interaction with families that are in the shit already is really, really, really important. Like you need to do that before you do this because you need to like be realistic about what you're walking into. You need to like be able to have someone to text or call that has done like dealt with some of this before. And that comes into like building support. So that's another topic. So get the experience and also help somebody else out in the process. Like, damn, help a bitch out. Me, maybe. And then also, though, build your support network and your network of resources.
Wow. What a good idea. Start building before. We have friends who come to our group who aren't parents yet.
Yes.
They're not doing it. And so they get to hear all of our stories and our solutions and our banter. Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
Like I said, we're going to have... there'll be like a whole episode on this.
Calling your family and home environment and routine to cut down on some of the behaviors that you're
struggling
with.
And also, I mean, we've talked about this too, like implementing like the separate spaces. That's in our support episode as well, which is really good. But
so let's slow down a little bit though and zero in on some of like the things that the one of the most common causes of a disruption. So a lot of people will disrupt or dissolve their adoption even because of extreme safety issues.
Yeah.
So I'm talking the child is harming themselves to the point where it's hard to keep them safe from themselves or the child is harming other kids. And it's a challenge for the parent to keep everyone safe. And, you know, we both have a little bit of experience with one or the other. We're not going to get into like a ton of details about that, but, I guess my main advice for extreme safety issues, I pretty much have like a step-by-step thing because I've dealt with this shit. Is I always access short-term out-of-home care. Some of my kids that looked like not an overnight, with other of my kids, they were admitted overnight. So they would, you know, be in a mental health care facility, and I would use that time. So you have to access the short-term out-of-home care to get the space that you need to make a plan. And then you need to make a safety plan. And like Nicole said, overhaul your environment. So the safety plan looks like, what are the unsafe behaviors we're dealing with? What are we going to do when it happens? Everybody else in the home needs to be involved. So I had a situation where one sibling was aggressive and the other one was not. And the non-aggressive sibling was involved in the safety plan. And so I would literally tell him, like, the second it happens, you need to run to your room and close the door and play with your toys. I don't want, because we had a problem of him trying to involve himself to help me or help the sibling that was aggressing. And it was not helpful, because then I was trying to protect another child while helping de-escalate the first. And so that was our safety plan. Once we implemented it and I like praised him for following it and he started getting the hang of it, it was so beneficial, because I was able to be so much more effective for the other child, and the other child would de-escalate quicker because there wasn't the sibling to like mess with. And so the safety plan involves everybody in the home. It's like, what are we going to do when this behavior occurs? And then you need to adjust the environment to make it safer. So like, does that look like cameras, baby gates, getting rid of certain objects in the home? We have, for example, like we have a special bed for one of our kids that locks at night, so that even though they share a room, he's not able to be accessed by the other children. So, you know, there's all kinds of resources that you can find out there so that everybody is safe, and it's easier for you to keep them safe.
Yeah. I think also the short-term out-of-home care, that can, like, I think that people get a little anxious about that, in the sense that, like, first of all, like, that could look like a hospital stay. It could look like, you know,
it could look like a play date, though.
It could look like a respite, or like, I may, like, you know, Lauren and I have talked about, like, we're going to swap some childcare, but like, that will be some de-escalation time as well, in certain situations. And like, so it doesn't have to be like a super like planned extreme thing, but like, also it's okay if it is.
Yes. So it's not going to look like emergency respite or emergency mental health care stay for everybody. But if it does, yeah, if it can and if it needs to, that's also okay. And that's a really important thing too, is one thing that we've done in our lives and that we've also had really sweet friends that have struggled with, is like, I think there's this resistance to some parents that they have of like, I don't want to do short-term out-of-home care because like, I just don't want to do that. Like, I want them with me. They're struggling. They need to be with me. And I just, I'm so done with that perspective, because I could go back in time and smack my dumbass self, because I used to think that. And I used to be so against it. I was like, no, the attachment issues are part of what we're dealing with. So-and-so needs me. Like, I am not doing that. And it's like, it's very unhealthy, because you get to such an angry place with that child because you're so burnt out from dealing with the things that they're challenged by. And you're not effective for them when you're like that. And they're struggling with you. You're struggling with them. And you cannot get any space to create a better environment for both of you. And so please, if you are struggling with the idea of potentially disrupting, get the space you need and make a plan. Do not keep drowning and drowning for no reason. Like, nothing will change that way.
Yeah. So all in all, I think, like, you know, implementing these aspects, casting your wide net, as far as like resources and support go. So like disability services, mental health services, support groups, childcare, you know, try it all.
Yes.
And these things can definitely just change the outcome, or like, you know, these things will still happen. But when you go in and and leave no stone unturned, you know, it makes it seem more doable.
Yeah. And also, in the worst case scenario that no safe solution can be found, like, we want that for you, that you'll be able to sit there and say, God, we tried everything. You know what I mean? And I think that's really important. You owe that to the child. And I think everybody will find, like, you'll owe it to yourself, because, you know, disruption is a horrible thing for a kid to go through. It's a horrible thing for a family to go through. We don't want that for any of you and your families. And, you know, I think it's important. And I do personally know a couple of cases where I do think it was a specifically a foster care disruption situation, where every solution that could be thrown at the issues was, and a solution wasn't able to be found. But I think that the parents in those situations have a lot of peace knowing that they did try everything they could.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks. I need it. Okay. So for this week's shout out, Lauren and I decided that it would probably be more useful to make a ongoing list of different supports for our area, for like general areas.
Like instead of just rattling off verbally a bunch of
which we did do, but
kind of did in the episode.
We'll kind of compile a list of things that have been helpful to us, and also like if you can think of anything, you know, we'll have this as like a living list, so it'll continue to grow. If you have anything to recommend in your area, or something that we kind of forget about or leave out, I think that would be a really helpful resource.
Yeah, and so we'll be working on that. We'll be posting stuff right now, because this episode is out now, on our Instagram stories, and we'll have an ongoing post on our Facebook page. So you can view those if you view the highlight on Instagram or the post on Facebook if you are in crisis and, you know, you can relate to some of these struggles mentioned in this episode and you want to hang in there.
Yeah, so, but also I think we'll mention, and we've mentioned them quite a bit, but we really fuck with them. So we definitely wanted to shout out like our local foster closet.
Alicia's Closet is a local nonprofit and foster care closet that serves families in Columbus, Ohio and the surrounding neighborhoods. And if you are in one of those areas, so, you know, oh gosh, Columbus, Dublin, Reynoldsburg, Hilliard, blah, 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 around there, reach out to us here on Fostering Forward and, you know, whatever platform, and we would love to connect you. Nicole and I have found so much growth and support from being involved in the services that they provide, and we'd love to bring other local foster parents into that network of support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come see us. Be friends with us.